Hello and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
And I am the Lollipop Man.
What?
I'm Dom McGuinn.
I'm the McGuinn.
The Highlander.
Ah, I come back in the second movie. It's about aliens.
Is it?
I'm Spanish.
I'm Kevin Chu. Hey, don't. I'm Kevin Chu.
I am Sung Lee.
And today's S-word is Kevin Smith, famed writer and director.
Thank you.
What? Wrong, Kevin. You're a famed video creator and podcaster.
Oh, boy. What a combination.
All right, so let's go right into this one with the first usual question. What was the first Kevin Smith movie you saw? And on top of that, how old were you and how many of the jokes did you actually get? Because Kevin Smith started his movie career right around when we were starting our teenage lives, so...
Yeah, teenage lives.
Yeah.
I think I was, like, 12?
I was 12 or 13 when I first saw Clerks.
12! I was around 12 when the Clerks movie had come out. Then I was, I was just almost out of middle school when I saw Chasing Amy was my first one. That movie makes very little sense when you're 14. And I saw it with my parents.
Really?
Did they try and explain it? Well, it was because it was a really highly regarded, well-received movie of that year, and a lot of people had it on a lot of their top 10 lists, especially near the forefront. So my parents and I, you know, we saw a lot of movies back then, and we were like, oh, we have to go check out this movie. Like, what's the big deal, right? Yeah. It's the most serious of the Kevin Smith work, so it was really weird to me when I was that young. I still got some jokes and things, but it didn't really appeal to me that much. It took me a long time before I got into Kevin Smith later on.
So you're a tracer.
What?
It's one of the conversations from Chasing Amy
about Anchors. Oh, that's right, that's right. No, later on, I did check out Dogma in theaters, and that one was a lot more fun. That's how I really got, you know, connected to Kevin Smith.
All right, cool.
What about you, Sung? You are the big Kevin Smith fan here. Like, you have met the guy so many times that he knows you by name.
No, not really. it's funny because, I first heard of Clerks, I guess, from seeing commercials of it on television back when I was in high school. And then, I remember seeing trailers from Mallrats and thinking, I don't really like Chad and Doherty, so I'd rather skip on that. Chasing Amy, I didn't really understand what it was. But then, like, the first actual time I actually watched the Kevin Smith movie was actually in college. We used to hang out at Dom's old apartment in Berkeley. And it was just one week where a friend of ours named Luke, he was talking about how he liked Kevin Smith. So he just popped in Mallrats and we watched it. And I thought it was really funny. And so it kind of started from there.
Oh, Mallrats was your first?
Yeah.
Weird.
And you got all of the jokes and all that, and you actually... Well, because the thing is that some people regard Mallrats as one of his worst movies, just because there's no points to it.
Yeah, Luke was just saying about how it was his favorite movie out of all of Kevin Smith.
Because it's the silliest one, really.
Well, actually, no, I think, like, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back gets a lot sillier, but it's not as good as Mallrats.
All right, so anyway, going along with this theme, my first Kevin Smith movie was rented by my cousins when I was 12 years old, and they brought it home from the video store, they rented it, and they went, hey, I've heard a lot of really good things about this Clerks movie, and I watched it and went, why is it in black and white? What are they talking about? I don't understand what these guys are doing outside. Oh, they talked about Star Wars, that was funny. But, you know, half of the jokes... Actually, maybe even more than half of the jokes were completely lost on me because, you know, I was 12 years old and sheltered. And so I was like, you go back there and you go, oh, he said, would you like to making a bee, 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 bee? And it's like, oh, Berserker. I get it now. So, Mike, now that you've joined us.
My first Kevin Smith movie was Clerks. I actually saw that my freshman year in college. It was, I forget what all the other movies were, but it was just a string of a bunch of movies all at once. I remember I saw
El Mariachi.
And right after that, we saw Clerks, so it was kind of a jump. And I don't remember the other two movies, but it was like 4 a.m. by the time we were done. But But all yeah, right. Clerks was the first one, and for a long time it was the only one. I never watched Mallrats. I didn't see Chasing Amy. I think the next Kevin Smith movie I saw was Dogma.
Hmm. Really? You waited that long until Dogma to get it?
Well, I mean, I just never went out of my way to go see another Kevin Smith movie.
I thought
Clerks was fine. It didn't affect me as much as, you know, The Usual Suspects, which I also watched freshman year in college.
Well, yeah, I think even Kevin Smith fans will say that Clerks is not quite on the level of The Usual Suspects. Sung?
Clerks is really good.
It's really good.
Clerks was fun, definitely. But it
Clerks was a great movie for what it was.
And because the thing is that, you know, Clerks is a movie that is in black and white, shot on cheap cameras with a guy's friends as the actors, as opposed to
and
The Usual Suspects,
and Kevin
which
Smith's
is
actual workplace. Yeah. As his setting.
Yeah, they filmed it during the night. Wasn't that also part of the reason why he did with black and white eventually later on, was because it was actually dark outside, and it was hard. Well, there are certain things that it's not just because they filmed it during the wee hours of the night.
But meanwhile, you know, The Usual Suspects has Kevin Spacey and wasn't it Benicio del Toro?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then who's it directed by again? It was
Bryan Singer.
Thank you.
It's just like the X-Men.
It is exactly like the X-Men.
It is X-Men, actually.
Yeah. It's
so is Clerks.
No, Clerks is obviously Star Wars, the prequel, where they talk about...
Oh, because, yeah, creation. Because I've heard about this theory. It is.
Chewbacca.
It is true. I don't know about that, but the concept of Jay and Silent Bob was supposed to come from the concept of the comedic duo, which, you know, C-3PO and R2-D2 are also possibly a skeleton for him.
Of course.
Well, then those two
the
were also taken from the older movies, I can't remember which ones.
Oh, Abbott and Costello?
Well, no, there's like a Japanese one that they refer to where they had these two kind of bumbling characters that are going through the story.
Oh, the ones from the Hidden Fortress, yeah.
Okay, maybe.
So anyway, yeah, so it's been a while since Kevin Smith started making movies. He's put out a few good ones, a few not so good ones. Going through just the list, we have got Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, etc., etc., etc. So which ones have affected you the most? Like, which is your favorite out of those movies, and why?
My favorite, and it's really hard for me to... Nostalgically, Dogma was the first film of his that I really enjoyed. But I think in terms of all of these films together, I think it's hard to choose because he's still maturing as a director. Especially, you can see the progression of his knowledge of how to make a film as he's gotten older. And a lot of people put off Clerks 2 a lot, but I think that's actually one of his strongest works. And
at least as a director, not necessarily as a writer, in my opinion.
I think it works out very well, and I feel like he improved. If you really seen Clerks a lot, he's improved upon the original a lot as well. And he actually draws a conclusion for his characters. I think Clerks 2 is his strongest. I've seen things in Zack and Miri where it really shows that he knows how to become a filmmaker now. But there are things about that film where I will agree with you, his writing sort of fell a bit. And I'm really anticipating when the new movie comes out, A Couple of Dicks, which I think is actually going to be changed to A Couple of Cops because they don't...
Yeah.
It's going to be changed now,
yeah,
right?
I read that.
There's a lot of controversy about that.
So I say Dogma, but I also say Clerks 2. So that's
just
where I am.
A bunch of characters named Richard.
Or Jersey Girl.
No, that's the whole point.
Named Richard, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, Mike, what's your favorite out of his filmography?
I have to say Dogma, even though I do really like Clerks. I just love, what are their names? Matt Damon and Ben Affleck just dicking around in Milwaukee and then, you know, ending the universe, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, those two are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Random tangent. One of my favorite stories about Matt Damon and Ben Affleck is from Celebrity Poker, where it was Ben Affleck just playing really conservatively, you know, folding when he didn't even have any real chance.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was that this was Celebrity Jeopardy, Celebrity Poker. And, well, they were horsing around.
Fold, Alex.
Alex Trebek was on Celebrity Poker, and he has a good story, too. But Ben Affleck finally played a hand, And Matt Damon just heckled him so hard from the crowd. Like, you couldn't see him, but you knew it was him because he's Matt Damon. And he's like, yeah, that's right. Grow some balls, Affleck. It was pretty awesome. Anyway, go back to it. Sorry, Mike.
Well, that's pretty much it. Those two pushed the movie up to a higher level for me than Clerks. And, you know, I really did enjoy Clerks, too. So that is saying something.
What about Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back, then, where, you know, it's Matt Damon and Ben Affleck making fun of Matt Damon and Ben Affleck?
Yeah, I thought that was fun, but I don't know. I just...
Yeah, they aren't really the center of that movie, so...
Yeah, I think they just show up for that Goodwill Hunting 2 hunting season joke. Which I actually thought it was cool, because they had Gus Van Sant on the set, too.
And they also had the director on the set, too. Well, a lot of people don't know this, but Kevin Smith was a producer for Good Will Hunting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he was a part of that movie.
That's the same reason why Wes Craven is also in Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back, because he and they had some sort of shared thing between, I think, Miramax and Dimension or something like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I guess my favorite would be split between Chasing Amy and Clerks 2.
Ah, so the most sophisticated of his films, and then
I haven't seen either of them.
You've never seen Chasing Amy?
No.
Yeah, I need to show you Chasing Amy.
I know it was part of that marathon, or no, it wasn't. It was shown when I was in another dorm, but I only caught like 5 minutes of it.
Mm. Well, Chasing Amy, I think, is his best writing work, but then Clerks 2 was a better made film.
What about The Return of Green Arrow?
We'll get to that later.
Or Aquaman 2.
2, of course.
But yeah, it's like, I'm getting a little tired of his like super sweet and happy endings, which Clerks 2 had. And that's one of the reasons why I really appreciated Chasing Amy, is because it had its kind of bittersweet ending.
And that leads into why my favorite is Chasing Amy, is because it's his most personal work. You know, it's the one where you can see the most of him, not as a comic book nerd necessarily, although there's a lot of that in there. And he infused himself a lot into the movie. And, you know, like, you watch that film and you can't help but see a lot of Kevin Smith in, you know, in Jason Lee and in Ben Affleck. What's her name again? Joey Michael Adams or something like that?
Joey Lauren Adams.
Joey Lauren Adams, thank you. Like, you can't really see much of him and Joey Lauren Adams, but didn't he say that Chasing Amy was a movie he made in order to get over Joey Lauren Adams?
Pretty much.
I've heard something like that.
Yeah, they used to date.
Yeah. But, you know, it's his most personal one, and, you know, the jokes come much more slowly in Chasing Amy than they come to pretty much anything else. And after that, you get to the end and you go, wow, this is not a stupid ending. This is an adult, mature ending. Like, it's the way it has to end, as opposed to sort of having a tacked on, and God has come out and made everything better, which explicitly happens in Dogma.
Alanis Morissette.
Spoiler.
Whatever. Dogma's like 10 years old now.
Yeah,
like
I can't believe it's 10 years old.
But I found that very fitting. Alanis Morissette opens her mouth and everything dies.
So, well, sorry, you going to say
something? No, continue.
Yeah, but Chasing Amy, you know, it still has some of the most quotable lines, even though Kevin Smith movies are all about quotable lines. But it also has the one at the ending where you actually sit and think about it for a while and you know, work through events in your head and you go, that's the way it had to end. You know, it ended in a way that, let's just say, Funny People was afraid to end. You know, Funny People was a movie that didn't end the way that it should have.
I'm going to argue with you on this now, because Funny People is actually something that I've thought about after that had ended. I know we're going on a tangent here, and this is an Apatow film, which actually is funny because everyone...
tangent on the S-Words podcast?
Because everyone sort of had been like, oh, you know, Apatow's sort of taken over the reins from Kevin Smith. And I'll go into this later on, but regarding Funny People, the way that film ends, and these are spoilers because this movie is not even on DVD. Oh, it just hit DVD.
It just hit.
So the way that ends, and you probably... Nah, this is not going to spoil anything for you. Is that the ending is more realistic than anything else I could have thought of for that film. Because the way guys apologize to each other is in that same kind of manner. They just sort of say, like, hey, you know, do you need some help about this? And then they just sort of sit down and they do whatever they want to do. And that's sort of it. That's the end of how guys fight with each other. And I thought that was really ballsy for him to do that, because people would not find that to be satisfying. But that's really how guys resolve their issues. It's not really satisfying. It's just they just get on with their lives that way. But going back to, and this is good, because Apatow and Smith, people compare the two of them.
A lot, yeah.
Smith doesn't like to let his actors go off on whatever tangent they want to. They work really close to his script. He doesn't want anyone ad-libbing things, whereas Apatow is all about ad-libbing as many times as you can, and then
actually,
they just pick the best one.
That's not true anymore.
But he's very much like stick to the script more.
And that's not true anymore.
Well, really? Back
yeah.
then he was.
Yeah, no,
I
yeah,
remember
yeah, yeah.
he was
back,
very
back,
much
back
into
then.
That.
Back before Clerks 2, I would say.
Hmm. Interesting. Because, you know, because
that's when the... Well, that's when people started caring about his work.
I think that was part of the detriment to Zach and Miri, was that he kind of let it do its own thing, and then he kind of lost it. It lost its way.
Because yeah, right now I'm just thinking of Apatow at the behind the scenes stuff for 40-Year-Old Virgin, where he basically just had a whiteboard with jokes on it. And he would just have people go through all of them, and he would pick the ones that would stick, especially the How Do I Know You're Gay?
Oh, yeah.
Where he just had them go for like an entire day on that, right? And also the pulling out Steve Carell's chest hair thing. They would cross off every swear word that he said, and they would just keep going. But, you know, it's hard to imagine that happening on a Kevin Smith movie, at least in the early days. So you're saying that these days he's much more loose with his actors?
Well, also
because he started smoking pot.
Also, it's because you had to remember that the actors he was working with initially weren't that experienced, They weren't like stand-up comedians or people who are well versed in improvisation, and like especially like Jason Mewes, who had no acting experience, and like he would have to work with Kevin Smith would have to work with him a lot in order to even get him like. You know, at least a little serviceable.
Verse is fine.
Yeah. But then, when he started working with, like Seth Rogen on Zach and Miri, he realized like, wow, this guy actually like, you know, like any ad libs, it's actually something useful. It's not something that, you know, it's just not something that like what Ben Affleck would do, where it would just be something to make the crew laugh, you know?
Interesting.
Well, I mean, like, Smith has always been an economical kind of filmmaker, especially he comes from that kind of route where everything matters. It's not there's no time to really just cheat around with certain things. I mean, he was to the point where for Clerks, I remember he said that his video editing software, he went to a community college for one course so he could get a student discount on the software.
That's awesome.
I don't know if it's as awesome as Robert Rodriguez's story, where he went into a mental hospital for 3 months in order to pay for El Mariachi, but it's pretty cool. You hear me, Kevin Smith? I'm challenging you. Mental hospital, 3 months, do it. Anyway, so we're moving on from favorite movie into, you know, Kevin Smith is he's not a perfect film director, and he's not a perfect film writer, so let's talk about the movies that we haven't enjoyed out of him and why. So, Kevin, what's your least favorite the most interesting one that you don't like?
I have to put a kind of a clause here that I've never seen Jersey Girl. It's one of those ones that I sort of keep saying I'll watch, but I probably will never do. I'll do it eventually, but I can't say Jersey Girl here.
Yeah, that's the reason Jersey Girl's not on my list either.
I will say I enjoy elements of every single one of his films, and especially ones where I come out disappointed, like Zach and Miri. Later on, I think back on it, I said, well, you know, there are certain things that he did right, and some things where it was just sort of him just trying to play off a joke that kind of didn't work very well. Like the whole Star Wars porno that they were putting together, that wasn't really that funny, and it wasted a lot of time in the film. So I'm actually going to have to go with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Really?
It's the one that still... Every time I watch it, I know it's for fun. I know it's just really them making the project they want. And that's why I regard it as him less being a filmmaker and more being like, let's make a series of sketches and sort of tie them together. It doesn't work well as a film. It works well as just jokes. Hmm. And I remember I had gone into that because right after I came off seeing Dogma, and I loved everything that he did, and that was coming out, and I watched it, and I was really disappointed in the theater. I thought, and I realize this now, I should have probably been much older and more high or more drunk to enjoy it. Because really, I can imagine that film is great if you're either one of those two things.
That's true. That's true. Mike?
I also have to say Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back. I mean, it's still fun for me, but it's like the bottom of the ones that I've seen.
But Mike, what about Cockknocker? Don't you like Cockknocker?
That I thought was one of the worst jokes.
What's Cockknocker?
Mark Hamill.
Applause,
please.
Okay.
With the big fist.
Yeah.
Why do they call you Cockknocker?
Well, that's an interesting story.
All right.
For me, I have seen all of at least his View Askew films. And I would have to say probably Zack and Miri, because it just felt like a lot of tangents and not really a coherent story and film.
I have a question for you about Zack and Miri.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory about it as well. If you didn't know it was a Kevin Smith film, if you went in blank, right? You went to a theater, they said, we're going to show you a movie, that's it, we're not showing credits. Would you have thought it was a Kevin Smith film?
Well, yeah.
You would have thought it was.
Yeah.
And that's what the thing is, for me, I don't feel like that. I feel like it seems like someone else made it. It doesn't feel like him. And that's why I'm trying to figure out, like...
Well, it's him channeling a lot of Judd Apatow.
Yeah, okay. It feels very much like somebody...
Yeah.
Else.
It's him trying to be something that he wasn't, I think, was a lot of the problem.
Which leads into my least favorite, actually, which is the second half of Dogma. I love the first half of Dogma. It has everything that makes a Kevin Smith movie great, you know, great character interaction, great dialogue, enough jokes, and...
Black people falling from the sky.
Sure, Chris Rock falling out of the sky at a height that would normally
giant
kill.
Poo monsters?
That's about when the second half starts for me.
So is it included in your first or second half?
You know what? I'm going to ignore that.
First half, number one or
first
number
half.
Two?
All right.
A little bit of both.
The thing is that Dogma, what is it? The Catholicism WoW, was it again?
Or yes,
the,
Catholicism WoW and
yeah,
Buddy Christ.
That stuff and the Buddy Christ, that stuff was brilliant. I grew up Catholic and it was really good for me to work through all of my childhood issues through Dogma a little bit. But toward the end of Dogma, or even with the giant poo monster, Kevin Smith tries to do action. And he's not very good at it at all. And by at all, I mean, like, he's really bad at it.
Yeah.
Really? I thought it was great.
He has said specifically he's not good at doing action.
Like, come on. No ticket.
Actually, yeah. No, I thought he did fine. I thought this whole like fantastical thing with like the like angels flying around and people shooting guns and everything. I thought it was fine. I thought it worked.
I did not like it at all. Actually, it's a movie that you can definitely see transitioning into being another movie without any real reason for it to do that. Like he could have probably done that whole thing without having the guns and the flying and the stabbing and all that. And it probably would have worked better, in my opinion, at least.
How did you feel about the movie headquarters scene with the golden idol?
You see, that thing, that part I was fine with because it happens off screen. Like, he does that much better. You know, you have the music, which is totally different from what's going on inside. All you hear is screaming. It's like, don't run, don't run!
I have to put a little note in there in that... I think it said in the commentaries or somewhere that the reason why it's all that was off-screen is because they didn't have the budget to actually have that filmed.
They could have just had the guys running around and then, like, red paint flying everywhere. They're just like,
yeah, like it. Let's see, it's Matt Damon running around with a gun, going, "Don't run, don't run!" And Ben Affleck's just standing outside, right?
Yep.
Sitting outside,
he's like reading a magazine, I think.
Yeah, and you know that kind of thing is the kind of thing that works better for Kevin Smith because it plays to his strengths. You know, actually showing Ben Affleck and Matt Damon in like Spartacus armor.
You didn't love the Spartacus armor?
I did not love
the clipped wings and everything?
I did not.
CG, man.
No.
This brings up, I think it's told in one of the Evening with DVDs, is his idea for his Green Arrow movie, which would be the Green Hornet and Kato, you know, sitting next to the...
Wait,
whatever.
Wait,
Green Arrow?
Green Arrow? Green Hornet.
Green Hornet.
Okay. Okay. Green Hornet. He also could have done a Green Arrow project,
yeah.
Maybe.
Anyways, so he was saying, like, if you ever watch the DVD, he basically just says, like he's not good at action, so the movie would just turn into, like, be the Green Hornet and Kato talking next to their car. I don't remember the name of the car.
Oh, yeah, and they go, let's go fight some bad guys.
Yeah, let's go fight some bad guys. And then they walk off the screen, and then the screen is still, like, just at the car. You hear, like, a bunch of, like, pow, you know, fight scenes, and they come back, and they start continue talking. That'd be the whole movie.
You know, that'd be a good movie. I'd watch that.
No, even with him writing it, I don't think it could last more than 20 minutes.
Okay, that's true.
It would be a good television episode.
Yeah, I mean, like, he has said multiple times, like, he was saying about, like, his idea for the $6 million man script because, like, he was actually contracted to do it for a little while. And he had Scott Mosier, his lifelong friend and producer, read the script. And he was like, you know, it's... not very good because you have you have ninjas, and you have Steve Austin hiding behind a rock during this fight scene.
Oh man! So actually, let's take a little tangent into the movies that Kevin Smith hasn't made. Most famously, he didn't get to direct or write Superman.
Yeah.
What else has he been attached to that fell off? Green Hornet for a little bit, right? He was attached to that for a little bit, or no?
Sure.
Rumors about it.
He's been asked to write script treatments, and then sometimes they just end up being rewritten, or they just end up nowhere.
Yeah. So out of those movies, do you think he would have done well with Superman?
Like, nope.
No. His script is actually online. You could find it if you Google it. But it was just him being very green and just saying, yes, okay, producer, I'll do what you want.
He's talked about this many times in his Evening Harder, right? Or Evening with Him.
One of them.
It was the first one when he talked about it.
My thing about him is I know he loves superheroes. I know he writes superhero comics. He actually has a new Batman series that he even wrote.
Oh, he's writing Batman now?
No, not regular.
He has
a mini
series. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that, he had Spider-Man Black Cat, which took forever to release. He did Green Arrow and he did Daredevil. Those are the two big notable ones. His Daredevil run, kind of pale compared to Brian Michael Bendis's run, and then his Green Arrow run. It's okay, not as good as Judd Winnick's run.
Well, the problem is that even though Green Arrow is a character who talks a lot, you know, it's part of his character. I don't know. Kevin Smith and his style of dialogue wasn't so. Kevin Smith and his style of dialogue didn't quite fit the DC superhero mold very well. You know, like, I think Kevin Smith could write a good Spider-Man. I honestly do.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he could do that.
I don't think he has the right voice for Spider-Man.
He could write a really cool...
Deadpool? Are you going to say it?
No. Question.
Oh, hey.
I can see that, yeah.
I can see that.
He can write... He can write characters that are more like detectives.
I could see the original Question. I don't know about Montoya.
No. I'm talking about the original question. He could write Dead Man. He could write Dead Man.
I'm just thinking it's like
Dead Man.
Montoya is the Question. Played by Joey Lauren Adams.
Played by Inigo Montoya.
Yes. Because Manny Patinkin is so young and vital now. We kind of skipped ahead a little bit and talked about his comics. But so you don't think that he would be able to write comics very well at all then?
No, I think he can write comics just fine. I don't think he can write a comic book movie.
I think the main thing is the characters. His voice doesn't fit for certain characters, and
a lot of people don't.
Mike, you know this. You would know this as well as Kevin. So you don't. You also don't think he'd read a good Deadpool?
I think in his younger days he would have made a good Deadpool writer. I think now he's too laid back.
I think Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg could write a great Deadpool script.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. So we'll ask you this again after Green Hornet finally comes out.
Oh, I think it's going to be great. It's got Michel Gondry directing it too.
Yeah. Like I said, we'll see. We'll make sure because there's still things that could change in the future about that script or who's attached to it because it's got one of those famous rotating doors. Or sorry, not rotating doors. It's got one of those famous revolving doors.
Village Bike?
Yes. just like the Superman, like we said, you know, Nicolas Cage wanted in. No.
Well, no, he actually was attached to it for a while. The fact that Tim Burton
Cage
dropped
has
out.
Ghost Rider
2. Oh my god, Tim Burton's Superman. That'd be weird. Oh yeah, Ghost Rider 2 is greenlit. You know who's writing it, right?
Yeah, I know who's writing it. I remember tweeting about that, actually.
Wait, yeah!
What?
Ghost Rider, you know the very successful Sony-released picture about Ghost Rider from the comic books?
No, but I know the pile of steaming crap that was released in theaters.
You didn't like it? It had, like, no action.
And it had, like, one Nicolas Cage
It had
Cage
action.
One-liner.
There were, like, two CGI sequences.
They, like, fight each other with fists, I think. Do they ever use the motorcycle to fight each other?
I think he runs over someone with his motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
That's one of my favorite things about... Blade 3 is that it's like, oh, he's the big bad vampire. He'll kill you just by looking at you. Hello, Blade. I will fight you with fists now.
No, really. This is Danny, by the way. I ran in here specifically to go, wait, Ghost Rider 2?
Yeah, Ghost Rider 2.
What?
Sequel to the very, very popular Ghost Rider 1? Or Ghost
Nicolas
Rider
Cage.
Zero, as we like to call it.
You know, last
How far did I drive?
Last night, a group of us were talking about upcoming films that were just seemed like very bad mistakes, like Monopoly and Candyland and Battleship.
Battleship, I'm excited about. Have you heard about this? It's Peter Berg directing it. And second of all, he wants to make it about battleships versus aliens. So here's what I think they're going to do with this film. They're not going to follow Battleship at all or anything like that. All they're going to do is they're going to make a movie about battleships fighting aliens. And every once in a while, maybe someone will say, you sunk my battleship, or like some coordinates.
A3.
Yeah, A3.
Wait.
It's a hit! I swear.
Okay.
Battleship will be awesome. Monopoly,
will be terrible.
Even with Ridley Scott directing it, cannot possibly be good. And, you know, I hope I eat my words about that, because, man, if they make an awesome Monopoly movie...
I'm just thinking they can make the Monopoly movie Trading Places too.
You guys should have heard Nika's treatment of it yesterday, because he was talking about making it tournament style, and then you have to fight.
Hat versus shoe?
Yeah. Versus dog, versus guy on horse. It's a tournament that's organized by Mr. Moneybags.
Wait, the guy on the horse is still in the set?
Well, I don't know.
I totally forgot about him.
How classic are we going?
Car is still there.
The thimble? Is the thimble
yeah,
still there?
So is the dog.
Okay.
So yeah, the tournament is organized by Mr. Moneybags, and then you get to the end and you have to fight him.
So it'll be like the Clue movie.
Well, I think more like Mortal Kombat. Like,
I would rather have it be more like the Clue movie, though.
We watched the trailer for The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yes! Yen Sid. Nicolas Cage as Yen Sid. Ghost Rider as Yen Sid.
Also got Jay Baruchel and I don't know who else. It's directed by John Turteltaub, right?
I know it's a Jerry Bruckheimer film.
So, I can't believe he's gone from Die Hard to that. No.
I'm going to ask, wait.
Oh, wait. I got that wrong. cut this out.
So hold on. Is Clue the only board game movie that's happened?
No.
Well, that has already happened. That's the thing. Like, there's no Sorry movie or Risk movie or anything like that, right?
There's Jenga.
There's a... No. Okay, good.
There's Zathura.
A movie about a board game, right? Or is that just
Jumanji? So is Jumanji. They're both like that.
Oh, don't forget Ouija Board is coming out, too.
Oh, God.
Please tell me you're making all of these up.
No, they're actually all real.
They're actually coming up.
Risk is also on tap, too.
Risk I can see doing well.
Oh, Dungeons & Dragons.
That's not a board game.
It's a tabletop. Tabletop.
That'll be a third movie, then.
Oh, that's right.
Because there have already been two.
Okay.
What about Wii Sports, the movie?
Hold on. We're going back to Kevin Smith now. We wandered way off topic.
Yeah, like tiny little sports guys.
We've gone way off topic here. Kevin Smith.
What was the topic?
I checked the topic. You talked over me.
Kevin Smith's Ghost Rider.
Here's the thing.
Yes, Ghost Rider 2.
I just came in here, and well, for one thing, I wasn't entirely certain what the topic was, because for a second I just assumed it was fake movies. What the hell, guys?
Anyway, so what were we talking about? We were talking about comic books, and we went into comic book movies. We need to go into his TV work now, because Kevin Smith actually hasn't done that much TV work, but he's put in his hand.
He did Reaper, right?
The pilot? He did the first episode of
Reaper. Yeah, I actually saw that episode. I really liked it.
There was the Clerks TV series.
I love the Clerks TV series. Very, very good.
I have yet to watch that.
Is that the
actually.
Animated one?
Yes. The animated
one. Yeah.
And then
there's actually a Clerks TV a live-action TV series that was supposed to be made that did not involve Kevin Smith. Supposedly there is a pilot out there, but almost no one's seen it.
Is it one of those things where people say, you know, I saw the pilot, you really are should be glad that it never made
it? Oh,
yeah.
It's the one where they like the ride those giant pilot. Windsurfing things, right?
I hope not.
And then there are lasers in the wheelchair.
No, like
there are lasers
Sailor
in the
Man,
wheelchair. The
Sailor Man. Popeye, you know.
We need like five more, and we'll have our own set of robot masters.
How come no one has ever come up with Sailor Man?
You mean?
I think the Village Sailor People's covered that one. Actually,
that's true.
Oh, and Shipwreck from G.I. Joe. You know he eats his parrot.
What?
Okay, what were we talking about with Kevin Smith?
Kevin Smith as Shipwreck.
Oh, the live-action Clerks.
A parrot? Clerks TV.
So you guys did love the Clerks TV series? The Clerks animated
The animated one I did enjoy.
I have it. I've yet to watch it.
I only saw one episode, but I really thought it was
Which one did you
really
watch?
Fun.
The NBA court one? Is it safe? The first one? I don't know.
I think it was actually
the last one.
Oh, okay.
Did you like the fact that they just kept making fun of Charles Barkley the entire time?
Yes, I did. But one of my favorite things is they actually have a joke in there where they go, is it safe? Is it safe? And I was like, for the longest time in my life, I had no idea what that was about. And then eventually I watched a Dustin Hoffman film from 1980 called Marathon Man. Mm. And that's where it's from.
Okay.
It's earlier than that, I thought.
Really?
There's a
I thought it was from Marathon Man. It's a really old, it's a 1980 film.
Well, no, I remember it being referenced as something in black and white.
Yeah.
Really? Because I looked this up and it was like famous villain quotes and "Is it safe?" was from Marathon
Man. Okay, maybe it is what I'm thinking of. Maybe the
black and white one that you're thinking of is probably one of us, which also came up a lot in the Clerks TV series.
Oh, that's right,
with the midget circus thing.
Actually, it might very well have been Marathon Man. Dustin Hoffman may in fact be that old in my memory.
Dustin Hoffman in black and white? What?
It wasn't in black and white.
No, I'm sure it wasn't in black. It might have just been dark. Oh, well.
So, yeah, do you in general like his TV stuff where he doesn't have that much time to ramble necessarily?
I can't say that he's done enough to say whether I like it or not.
Yeah, it's really not his format. I mean, like, the only one I've really seen is the pilot episode of Reaper. I know he's done a few episodes of Degrassi High, The Next Generation, not Star Trek.
and Veronica Mars, you were saying earlier, right?
He guest starred in it in one episode, but he didn't actually direct anything. He's done cameos in lots of things, but he's never really directed them.
Watch, in like 30 years, he'll start showing up in every superhero movie just like Stan Lee, once Stan Lee is gone.
But Stan Lee actually is related to comics and superheroes and stuff.
Yeah, but come on. Between Kevin Smith and Nicolas Cage, they try to sneak themselves into every single comic book movie.
That's because Nicolas Cage likes comic books, though.
Same thing with Kevin Smith.
Yeah. That's because Kevin Smith actually likes comics.
He owns a comic book store. Have you ever been there? I haven't. I have.
Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. There's two in L.A. Yeah. The one I've been to has now been closed.
Really?
Yeah, it was in Westwood. Oh, and there's another one. I forgot.
Yeah, they moved it to somewhere else. I don't remember where. I will say that, like, he has said multiple times that he doesn't really like the television medium. His experience doing a Reaper solidified that for him. He just didn't want to do it. Like one of the main things that he pointed out was that doing a television series is like there's he mentions an episode of ER that I believe it was Quentin Tarantino directed. And he was saying that, like, yeah, like, when you watch that episode, it looks like every other episode of ER.
Are you talking about CSI?
Okay. I think it was ER, but it may have been something. It may have been CSI. I don't know.
Some acronym.
Yeah. anyways, he was just saying, like, it's just really hard to put your own stamp on an entire show, unless you're an executive producer or something. If you're just, like, director of the week is, yeah.
Sorry, I just had this gigantic thought. Like, you know, Kevin Smith has always been about New Jersey. You know, it's where he came from, and he always puts it in his movies when he can. And I'm just thinking, what do you think of that new show, the new reality show that's getting all the buzz, The Jersey Shore?
Oh, the MTV one?
Where it's a bunch of, like, the biggest Guidos and Guidettes that they could find in Jersey living in the same house, being terrible, like, being the dregs of humanity.
I really don't watch TV anymore.
It's
except on, like, DVD. Okay.
Because The Jersey Shore is just, it gives such a bad name to New Jersey. You can't imagine that he likes it.
Well, I'm sure he'll talk about it at the next Comic-Con.
Which actually brings us to our next topic. Our biggest experience with him, just as in terms of personal interaction, is through his, would you call them stand-up? Or would you call them more
panels? Whatever, his 2 hours.
Yeah, his 2 hours. Like, Sung, have you actually been to one of the Evening with Kevin Smiths? Or
no.
You haven't?
Okay. I know he did one in Berkeley, but I wasn't around for that.
Yeah, I wasn't around for that either, and I kind of regretted it.
I think I remember seeing that being advertised, and I did not get a chance to go.
I remember it was advertised, I didn't go. I've seen him now, what, 3 times? So
I've seen him, I don't know how many times now.
Yeah, so is that really his biggest strength, is being able to run a panel and just tell a story for 15 minutes without being interrupted?
Well, here's the thing. If you can tell a story and actually captivate that many people live, you can tell a story on film.
Yeah, he is very good at telling stories. And, like, it's the reason why his panel is the most enjoyable of, like, any panel you ever go to at a comic book convention, is he knows how to tell a story in an interesting way. Sometimes, well, actually, a lot of times it's not what you want to hear, but he still makes it interesting.
I think I'm thinking the same story as you.
Are you talking about the dog semen story?
The dog semen story, yeah.
Wait, what?
So he had a cup. He had one cup of milk and one cup of something else. No, I'm kidding.
He was talking about having a new dog around the house.
Shecky.
What?
Shecky, his new dog.
Yeah, and he was talking about, like, how that dog, I think, was in heat or something like that, and just attracted all sorts of other dogs. And
it was just
big dog, little dog sex, right?
It was his other dog, Mulder.
That's right.
By the way, he has like 3 dogs. His first dog was Mulder. His second dog was Scully, and then his third dog was Shecky.
What's Shecky from?
Yeah. It was from a joke that him and his wife had in a car, like when they saw this dog sticking his head out of the head out of the window and, like, blowing his, you know, just what dogs do when in a moving car, and he called it Shecky for some reason, and then it became like this recurring joke, and then when he bought another dog, he just called it Shecky.
And yeah, one time we were at the San Diego Comic Con Night with Kevin Smith panel, and someone asked him, went up there and asked him the question, be funny, fat guy. Seriously, that's pretty much what they asked him.
I wouldn't call that a question.
And he said, okay, fine, you want a story? I'll give you a story. And he told us the story about his new dog basically getting ravaged by his older dog. And
or the more correct, well, again, technically it's more like rape, but...
Hey!
Anyways, this in order to visualize this, this is during his this is before Zack and Miri came out, and the whole panel was most of the Zack and Miri cast. While he was telling the story, it's a very, very, very graphic story. And just watching the faces of the people on the stage,
yeah,
are like,
just like hiding themselves.
It's if you want to hear the full story and like in even more gross detail,
listen for the end.
Watch Three Evening with Kevin Smith, which is a Third Evening with Kevin Smith DVD.
Out of curiosity, what does the cover of that one look like? Because the because Evening Harder is a parody of the Transporter 2 cover.
It is one of those like 80s sci-fi James Bondy looking covers.
Okay, we have to see these now.
It's him and his wife.
Terrifying.
With guns or something like that.
Okay.
And like dressed up in, you know, kind of spyish outfits.
That sounds cool, actually. Is there anything else that you guys would like to go to before we go into our top three list?
Top three? Well, I only have one. That's why we should just do one. You're your very top.
All right.
Kevin Smith quote, moment, story, whatever.
All right, so let's close out the show then. What is your favorite Kevin Smith quote? It can be from anything that he's done.
I'm going to have to go with the thing that sticks out in my mind.
Finger cuffs?
Finger cuffs! Because, well, I'm fairly
certain.
How did
I actually know that?
Because I was like 13. We were about the same age when Chasing Amy came out.
No, Chasing Amy came out way after we were 13. When we were 13 was when Clerks came out.
Okay.
It was probably around 95.
Okay, never mind. But we were still teenagers.
Chasing Amy was 97, so we were 16.
97.
Okay. We were teenagers. And that is the... Oh, that's about right, actually. Hi.
Hey, Danny. Back to your story.
But yeah, we were the same age and we were teenagers, and that is the quintessential teenager joke. You know, it's just really, really disgusting in context. But until you mention it, it's completely innocuous.
Like the Dutch Rudder?
Yeah.
And then the Double Dutch Rudder?
I'm not delving too far into those, because it was a long, long time ago.
Alright.
He has a long history of making interesting sexual words. New ones, anyways.
Let's not do that. Kevin, what's your favorite?
My favorite is actually a very classic. Classic one from Clerks 2. In fact, it's probably the best sequence in Clerks 2, in which the Lord of the Rings nerds have a fight with Dante and... What's the other one? Just drawing a blank.
The other clerk.
Yeah. Randall. There we go.
Oh, that's right.
Where the Lord of the Rings fans have an argument with Randall about whether Lord of the Rings is better than Star Wars. And, of course, the Lord of the Rings fans bring out the prequels, and we get the whole usual conversation. And finally, Randall wins because Lord of the Rings is just about walking.
Mike?
My favorite quote is Matt Damon saying, "You didn't say God bless you when I sneezed." And then when he's being dragged off. "You're lucky! Getting off light!"
"Don't run! Don't run!" "Whose house?"
I also enjoy that part in Dogma where they get in the elevator and they're like, "We'll just do what we always do. Let's just kill people."
I don't know. The one that's pops in my head right now is him kind of quoting John Peters, who produced Superman Returns. But he was basically saying, this is in the first Evening with Kevin Smith DVDs, where he was explaining his experience on how he got involved with the Superman movie. At that time, I think it was called...
Superman Lives.
Yeah, Superman Lives. So he goes up to John Peter's place and he presents his 80-page outline. I think it's 80 or 40 pages, I don't remember. But then so John Peter says, "Okay, fine, you're hired. I only have three things that you need to follow. The first one, I may get the first two mixed up, so
I'll correct you because I remember those three for the rest of my life."
So the first one, no tights. The second one, no flying around. You know, he's like, I guess it's gay, fly around, whatever. It's bullcrap. Third one, yes, he has to fight a giant spider in the third act.
I'll come up again when we do Superman as a podcast.
The best thing is that John Peters went on to produce Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
And guess what? They fight in Act 3 of that movie.
Is it a giant spider?
Yes. Piloted by Hamlet.
Half of Hamlet.
Yeah, technically half.
Wait, piloted by Ham.
Wait, it's only half of Hamlet? It's
yeah, because he's only got the top half. The bottom half is all spidery.
So wait, if it's the top half, it's only the ham and the ham. Light goes away, right?
Yeah. Like
so my favorite one is I wish I knew the exact speech by heart, but it's from Chasing Amy when they're in the what is it?
The diner?
No, they're not in the diner. They're in someone else's panel. I forget his name, but the black artist.
Oh, are you talking about the conversation?
The Darth Vader speech.
Oh, yeah, about Darth Vader being black, yeah, and then underneath they just pretend he's a little white guy.
But yeah, I just wanted to mention it since I didn't have a chance for it to come up since we only got one. So how'd you get the name Cockknocker anyway?
Well, this came up earlier. That's a funny story. Let me tell you.
I should say another part of the Superman story, which was Kevin Smith asks John Peters, like, so why a giant spider? He goes, well, do you know anything about spiders? He goes, like, no. He goes, well, spiders are the most vicious killers in the insect kingdom. It's like, okay. And then later he's talking about, John is like, well, what if a giant polar bear comes out and attacks Superman?
It's like, why a polar bear? Don't you know anything about polar bears?
It's like, no.
The animal kingdom's deadliest killers.
I don't know if this is true, but one of my favorite things was that Kevin Smith also claimed that John Peters was like originally Barbra Streisand's hairdresser or yeah, something like that.
His quote I loved was, in Hollywood, you just fail upwards.
John Peters is still producing.
Yes.
Is he?
Yep.
What is he producing now?
Ghost Rider 2. No, I don't know. Okay. He's actually with Warner Brothers. He's not with Sony.
Wild Wild West, too.
Yeah, that's still in treatment right now. I like Wild Wild West. It's a great bad movie.
Needs more polar bear.
If they bought a polar bear and...
That'll be in the sequel.
Wait a second, yeah. What if the polar bear is what has Kenneth Branagh's lower half?
You know, Kenneth Branagh should have been in Dragon Ball Evolution.
So it'll be Kenneth Branagh. So it'll be a polar bear driving Kenneth Branagh's legs.
Yes,
he could play Tenshin Han.
Or what? It'll be just his legs as Chiao Tzu.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Actually, it should be a tiny Kenneth Branagh.
It's a tiny Chiao-Tzu. Kenneth Branagh. Don't you know anything about Kenneth Branagh, Danny? He's the acting world's most vicious killer.
He's directing Thor.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's a pretty good idea, actually. I think it's a good idea.
Because if anybody can have a person on camera saying thee and thou and not
Verily.
Make it look stupid, it would be a Shakespearean actor and director.
Thor might actually be the one comic book movie where they don't show any fighting on screen. It's all off screen. Just like Shakespeare!
No, there's fighting on screen in Shakespeare.
The majority of the fighting is off screen.
The majority is, yes.
Yeah. Someone dropped their marbles.
It was right. Song.
So this concludes the Kevin Smith episode, and also the comic book movies episode.
And the Ghost Rider episode.
And the Ghost Rider
episode. And the movies about board games.
And the movies about board games episode of the S-Words podcast. Remember that you
still don't think any of those are real. Give me a computer.
That's like a five-for-one bargain.
Remember that you can find us online at s-words-podcast.com. If you have any questions, you can email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. I was going to say, it's like, is it feedback or contact? Oh, crap.
It's feedback.
Okay.
Twitter.com/s_words.
If you have any questions or suggestions, you can email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. If you have anything to do, you can always make Kevin do it afterwards.
Hey, you're editing this one.
Oh, crap.
twitter.com/s_words. That's the Twitter account for S Words Podcast. You can always find out whatever Dom's talking about over there or what we're harassing him about.
If you want to hear about what Kevin's doing, it's twitter.com/Suberunker.
/Ghostwriter2.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Ghostwriter 2.
Good night, Rich Uncle Moneybags.
Is it recording now?
It is recording now.
Is it recording now?
No.